Hi, I'm Titch Wilson.
And I'm Rod Peter Jr. Today, we watched Fast Cars, Fast Women.
Which means, we watched the porno.
That's a long enough pause. Okay.
Yeah.
So this is our first episode of the podcast.
Yeah.
Should we explain a little bit about who we are?
Yeah. And how we got here?
Yeah.
Yeah. That sounds good. So I think you kind of started us on this whole journey. It was your first purchase that like brought us to this, right? Because then you bought one for us. We started off doing this as a date night thing.
Yes. That's right. It was Vinegar Syndrome, which is kind of a website for kind of obscure films, mostly B movies, horror stuff, but does things like Roadhouse and does kind of boutique labels. They also had an adult label within that, and they had a big Valentine's Day sale, which they just did again. And so I just thought, screw it, let's buy some of these and watch
have
them.
A fun sexy time, just like date night, watch a movie, get naked, have some fun, and then I think we just started doing it more and more often. Like, and you just started buying more and more because Vinegar Syndrome was coming out with more stuff because it was super popular. Yeah. And we were just having like a ton of fun.
Yeah, because we would watch them in bed.
Yeah.
And joke around.
Yeah.
Because we both work or have worked in entertainment.
Yeah.
And love being silly and just joking around. And so it's hard not to poke fun of the films while we're watching them. And so it became more of a, hey, you know,
we don't want
to go out and spend money. So we'll just like watch these really, at the time, really kind of like terrible,
cheesy
porn films and then have sex. And then it just sort of became a thing.
But they were so entertaining and we were so entertained by each other.
And then telling friends our thoughts about it that they were like, you could do this as a podcast.
Yeah.
Will people listen to this as a podcast?
Yeah.
And then, you know, enough people said, yeah, I think I'd listen to that.
Yeah, I do.
So we'll find out if they did very quickly, I suppose. You know, all those people that went, oh, man, I totally would love it. I would totally listen to that. We'll find out.
Put your money where your mouth is.
Yeah, because we're now doing it, and maybe no one will listen.
Yeah, maybe no one will listen, but we'll have fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is basically that.
First episode, and it's funny, I didn't even realize till you said it right now, it's almost a year now to, like, the actual day of, like, when we started.
That's right.
Yeah.
A little bit past, because they would sell the stuff on Valentine's, and it takes about a month for you to get your stuff. We're Canadian, so everything
takes a while.
Far longer. So they get, you know, shipped, and about the next month you get your stuff. Mm-hmm. But yeah, pretty close to about a year since we've been kind of doing these sort of like little date night things.
So basically, what you're gonna hear, dearest listeners, is we're gonna critique these films for you. Not just the sex parts, which are very fun, but also things like you would critique in other non-pornographic cinema.
Think of us as the new Siskel and Ebert.
Of porn.
Of 70s and 80s porn. We may get to the 90s, we may get to the 2000s,
who knows?
We don't know.
Yeah.
But, you know, we may agree, we may not agree, you know, on some of the stuff. Is the plot good?
Yeah.
How's
the acting?
How is the acting?
Because some of it's not bad. I mean, these movies are known for...
I will say, people try.
They do. They try their darndest.
And when people don't, you really know.
Yeah.
Like, you really know when they're not, like, trying with the acting. And then you really know when somebody's really giving it their all.
Yeah. Which I really enjoy. I really enjoy seeing it when everybody who's creating this thing is trying so hard. And the commitment is so sincere. Oh, it's the best. Yeah. I love it.
And I suppose it's just to say, like, that we're... It's just to be silly, right?
Yeah.
The idea that this is not to be shaming in any way.
No.
Not to try and a body shame or, you know, any of that kind of stuff.
Yeah, you're not going to hear anything like that. That's going to be...
Yeah. And I guess that's about...
I think that's it.
About it.
Yeah, I think that's it.
We're flying by the seat of our pants a little bit. On...
But
we're
starting with a really good one.
Yes.
We're starting with
one that we one of the first ones we ever watched.
Yeah.
And then recently rewatched.
Yeah.
Because it was so entertaining. Yeah. And it was one of the ones that we went, we have to do this.
Fast Cars, Fast Women. I mean, the title itself just... It reels you in.
Yeah.
Right from the get-go.
And only 77 minutes. So it's it's a breezy...
A real in and out.
Yeah. It's the perfect... I think it's around the 70, 80 minutes is what I want out of a porn
film.
What I've realized now is anytime anything gets longer than that, I start going like, when the fuck is this ending? Like, how much story do you need in a porn film? Like, you don't need... I don't need Napoleon. I don't need Killers of the Flower Moon.
No.
You know, fuck fest. Like,
no,
I don't
Martin
need.
Scorsese
yeah,
in
I don't
here.
Need any of that. I just, I need, you know.
Yeah. Because
the end goal is to
get your rocks off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're right? Like, you know, we're watching it to also be turned on to have sex and not to just clinic. Like, just, we're not here to just watch it with a notepad and go, like, interesting.
So we
and
are off. Actually, that's another aspect of like how we're going to be rating it. For these movies is how turned on were we? Was this like a really good aphrodisiac, or was it like so bad we had to actually turn it off in order to, you know, have sex? That's bad when you have to turn the porn off.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's not the case with this one.
No. This one was highly entertaining.
Yeah.
Should I read on the DVD?
Yeah.
So it's directed by Scott McHaley, whoever the fuck that is.
And we'll put the creative's names in the...
What I always find interesting is sometimes these directors have, like, either 50,000 titles to their names.
Yeah.
Or two. Like, you just go, like, they tried it and went, not for me anymore.
Yeah.
I'm not in... Even the people that are doing, like, the performers, like, you kind of, you letterboxed or IMDb them and you find out they either have a huge career or it's one and done, and you're like, oh, okay, that was obviously not for them. They did this film, they're good.
Yeah.
But it says, welcome to the erotic world of female race car drivers. These high-octane girls know how to rev up everyone's engine, but when a group of sleazy mobsters begin attacking the girls and their friends, it's up to their tough coach, played by Kay Parker, to unleash her own brand of revenge.
Dun, dun, dun.
I will say, this one surprised me with a budget.
Yeah. Out the gate.
Out of the gate. Like, you don't think, when you think of 80s... Well, it's like, it's on the cusp of something. Like, what did I say, 81?
Yeah.
Yeah, 81. So you're almost 70s, right? You're not quite the 80s yet.
Yeah.
So you still have that 70s vibe to it.
Yeah.
I assumed it was 70s. Like, I assumed
so
it was like late 70s.
Even just like the hairstyles and stuff.
But there's actual race car.
Multiple motor vehicles.
Actual
racing
on tracks. And,
which our theory is that they told people that they were making a movie, but not that it was a porn movie.
Do you think?
In order to get access to the racetracks and those race cars.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Like,
100%,
I feel like.
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think, I mean, everybody obviously in it knew. Also, if anyone was watching closely, they would have been like, well, Ron Jeremy's there, so.
Yeah, yeah. It was heyday of him. Yeah. So, yeah.
Which is great.
Yeah.
We get some really good eavesdropping acting from him.
Yeah. And I know, so you've got, you famously always have like tons of notes.
Yes, I do.
So
a terrible memory.
To the listener, yeah, my partner has terrible memory, and then we have arguments about how the memory is not terrible, and we'll be like, no, this is how it happened, and then later we'll tell everybody that they have a terrible memory. And so, like, we don't have kids, but you know how you have, like, there's like sketches of moms who don't remember the names of movie stars and the titles of anything. Like, you're already there.
I know.
You know what I mean? Like, you're only in your 30s, but you're already at the level of mom that's like, who is that, you know, Bibbidi Bobbiter? Like, there's no one named Bibbidi Bobbiter, mom. Like, there's no one named Bibbidi.
It's so, you have a bad book of in notes. My notes.
Yeah.
I don't have the characters' names.
That's true.
I have euphemisms for who they are. So, like, certain characters are written down as, like, a descriptive article of clothing that they're wearing. Or, like, you know.
And I guarantee you're not going to remember from those notes. Like, I guarantee there's going to be moments you're reading back and you'll go, I have no idea what this
was. Well, I went over some already and I've already...
jogged your memory?
Yeah, I've already been having a tough time remembering some of these things.
Tough time.
Like... note here, I've got country bar, question mark, question mark, question mark. What about that titty tease?
I don't know what that means.
I have no idea what that is in reference to. I just know that there's a scene. Okay, so maybe we should rewind. Maybe
okay, I so should give about, a yeah, how plot about, synopsis. Yeah, you give, because I love hearing. And often, if, you know, we also struggle with when we're talking to other people, they'll be like, what did you guys do? And like, oh, we saw this great movie. Yeah. And then we will, both of us, describe the entire fucking plot of a movie to someone. And they'll go, great, thanks. I don't need to see it now, you assholes. You both just told me the entire plot of Pan's Labyrinth. You know, and you're like, well, you should have seen it. Yeah. Like, it's a great film.
I think the difference...
She's dead at the beginning. You go, oh, cool, great, thanks a lot. Come on, man, Pan's Labyrinth's an old film.
I think the difference, though, is, like, your memory is like a steel trap. You remember all
so
of
I'll,
the details.
So I'll do it bit by bit by bit by bit by bit, yeah.
Whereas for me, the reason why I give, like, an entire plot synopsis is I can't tell, like, when I remember a thing, I can't tell what the pertinent information is in order to give a succinct summary to someone. I really don't know how to summarize things.
No, that is true. I can fully attest to that. There's many, many times in our relationship where I will be getting information from my partner and I don't
relevant.
Fucking know where it's going.
Nope.
And I will have to ask for the the short version, not Stephen King's The Stand version.
Yeah.
Like, I don't need all the backstory. I just need to know how to get to A to B.
We're really selling.
Yeah.
Okay, so...
So what is your... So if you're in an elevator with somebody, so this is a bit that I think we can... Yeah, yeah, bring to the table is, you know,
Sarah's elevator
pitch. So if someone's there in an elevator with you and you're like, hey, this is what this is, what is this, what is the plot of this movie?
Okay, so the plot of this movie is, I think, Christy, who is the main character, she is coming into town. She's got, like, Farrah Fawcett blonde hair. See, I'm already giving too many details.
Yeah. Don't need to know. I don't need to know. It's just her
Christy, that's Christy's great. Coming in, and she's looking for a job. And her old friend, Casey, who I don't know where they know each other from, but they know each other from something from before.
Could it be driving cars?
It could be driving cars.
Am I stabbing the dark on this one? Could you imagine if it wasn't? What if they're fucking, like, it's a porno? Like, what else? Like, their past history is race car driving. The whole thing is race car driving.
Yeah, I don't know.
Who knows where they know each other from?
I was just like, maybe
they were cashiers together in a grocery store.
Maybe they went to university together, you know? But anyways, Christy comes into town. She's looking for a job. Casey is like, hey, I got a hookup for you. My, bad bitch Molly, who is kind of like, I described her as like a matronly, like a matriarchal kind of figure in the film. Apparently she's just rich and she just like gets women to gets.
Yeah. I don't know where you got like motherly.
She looks after them.
Yeah.
She looks after her girls.
Yeah. But she
stands up for them.
Yeah. But like, so that, but that doesn't make any sense. Like, you know, if somebody owns like a, like they're, you know, there's people in race car driving.
Yeah.
That are the people behind it with the money.
Yeah.
And that's what she is. Like, that's like being like, you know, Enzo Ferrari. He's a motherly figure for, you know, mothering all those, you know, Ferrari drivers. You know, like, no, he just owns a fucking, like company. Like, yeah. And puts money behind.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, he did his own. And that's the thing is Molly also, I think they allude that Molly had race car driving experience in the past as well.
She did. And so she is like in charge of this group of girls who race cars, fast cars. Yeah. And
fast cars, not slow cars.
No, not slow cars.
They race
fast cars. I'm trying to drop in the name of the title of the movie.
Anyways. Gotta make clear, they're fast cars.
Too many details. Yeah. But Casey's like, great, we are actually in need of a new driver because is it someone else? Was it, no, it was the V-neck guy's sister, right? The mechanic who like fixes the cars for them. It was his sister. She got in a horrible accident and she died. And they believe that it was this mob who like sabotaged her car.
Yeah.
And she crashed. And just to be clear, talking about this like horrific death, no one seems to be traumatized.
No, no one's traumatized by it.
Like, it's very wooden and very like, oh, yes, we've got a job. This is what happened to so-and-so's sister. She died in a horrible car accident, and we think it was someone who killed her. Great. Here's the, there's a job opening available. Christy's coming in. She's going to race. There's, the mob guys are trying to, I guess, like, kill one of them? I can't remember what the strategy... Well,
they're just trying to sabotage.
They're just trying to sabotage because they don't want them to win the big race.
Because they want to win the essentially. As well. Like, they also have a car.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's... Ron Jeremy's a part of that crew. Yeah. So that's kind of essentially the plot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Were you entertained by it?
I was, yes.
Yeah.
I really was entertained by this movie. There were a lot of really weird... like choices for certain, like some sex scenes were very silly and funny and like awkward and like the one in the trailer when one of the mob guys comes to like threaten Molly. Right.
He shows up
in the trailer and she,
which is supposed to be her office, like but it's just a trailer.
It's just her
remember
trailer.
When you were like, oh, she has like a bus, and I was like, no, that's just a trailer. And then you realize that they only had money for a trailer, and then they put, like, they literally just printed, like, on a piece of paper, her company name.
Yeah.
And then
Molly's fast cars or
like,
something.
Tape it to the trailer.
Yeah.
And they're, like, opening a door, like, oh, Molly's in here. And then, isn't she, she's masturbating.
No, not yet. And then he comes in and is like, hey, I'm threatening you.
And then she masturbates
and he
watches.
She masturbates in front of him to be like, fuck you.
Yeah.
I am a strong independent woman and I don't need your threatening gaze. But then she's doing okay. Like she looks like she's enjoying herself. It's a lot of open palmed.
Yeah, there's a lot of open palmed.
A lot of open palmed fingering.
Yeah.
And he watches, but then at some point the filmmakers make the decision to just take a freeze frame of his face.
Of his face, that's right.
Watching her.
Yeah, yeah. Like, it's weird that they're like, oh, shit, we wanted, like, 5 more seconds.
Yeah.
You're like, why the freeze frame, though? Like, why do you... You had so many options. Like, they just regurgitate the... Well, yeah, it was weird.
So it's
a weirdly edited scene.
Very poorly
back and
edited.
Forth. Yeah.
Just cuts back and forth between her... And she's still enjoying herself. And then it cuts back to him. And it's not even like his facial expression in the freeze frame isn't even really interested.
No, no. He's like, just,
it's like, just a blank gaze.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she's hot. Like, and so like, it's weird that you'd be like, somebody would just be like, Kate Parker, whatever. I don't know. She's a hottie. What are you talking about?
She is. She has great titties. Yeah.
She does.
She has incredible.
Yeah.
Incredible titties.
Yeah. That was, that's the thing.
Yeah.
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 I feel like she's known for that.
I think so.
I feel like that's the thing.
I think she is.
I feel like going, like when you find out, because she's in, she's the mom
quite a few.
In Taboo.
She is the mom in Taboo.
Which we'll get into as well at some point. We'll get through all
the Taboo films. We'll review that
film too. Yeah.
Yeah. What were some of your favorite, like, moments?
I love the beginning where she's like driving and the cop pulls her over and gives her.
So this is Christy.
And then she has sex with him really quick.
Yeah.
And then he still gives her the ticket. Yes. And then her response is like, not again. Like, and then you realize like, wait, this has happened multiple times for this person.
No. Doesn't she? Oh yeah, that's right. She does say.
Then she's like, not again.
Not
like,
again.
And he fucking like comes on her.
Yeah.
Just like, what? Then he's like, here's your ticket. You're like, oh, that's. Yeah. And, you know, it's supposed to be a comedy bit.
And it's like.
But what blew my mind is that you're like, how many times has she had sex with cops in the back of her like Winnebago that she's driving?
I think one of the directorial pieces or notes. Was that she's a bit of a goofball. Like, she's supposed to be kind of a slapsticky, womp, this happens to me all the time. And I think it might be because, I don't know.
Blonde?
I don't maybe know. Maybe she's like blonde.
The blonde thing.
She's got a really adorable tooth gap.
Yeah.
And so that might also, I could see them being like, we're going to make this character choice.
Yeah.
The only indications that we get that this is, you know, a character choice that she's made or the director has given her are these moments where she gets like, she has like a, oh no, not again moment. Right.
Yeah, Cause
there's
yeah,
one later
yeah,
on
that
when they're trying to secure, I don't know what it's called. I don't know cars at all, but like the platform or area on the track,
well, you have to pay to get your car. Like, it's weird. It's weird that they actually know some of the rules.
Yeah.
For his car track.
Yeah.
Like, they're like, they did research. You know, you got to pay for a spot to get in. And so they don't have a spot for a race. And so she is sent to convince, like, the owner of the track.
Mm-hmm.
And it's this, like, mustached.
Oh, my God.
He does not look like a performer.
No.
Does not have the tool of a performer. Just feels like he's a guy that's like in the porn business as an actual producer and has sex with the women. It's like, well, I could also. That's the vibe of this character.
Yeah.
Or that actual actor. That performer.
Yeah.
We
should letterbox that later.
Yeah, find out who he
is. Does he have any other credits?
I think I did, and he's got like a few, but they're all the sort of the same. And he's I believe it's more of like a producer thing. Like he's kind of connected.
Yeah. Anyways, Christy shows up at his office to try and secure
his office, which is it's like just wood panels.
Yeah.
And there's like two photos of cars on the, like, so you that way you know that he's a high mobile.
Yeah.
But like they're clearly just magazines that they fucking like ripped out like a, you know, an Audi and just like taped it to the back. Like, so you know he's obviously a race car guy. And he's like on the phone and she comes in and
she gives him a blowjob. And his line, which is one of my favorite lines in the movie, sure better than eating lunch.
Oh my god. Which begs the question, like, it's just,
she shows up at his lunchtime.
Yeah, you know,
and he's like having a sandwich.
I would assume yes. Have you ever had a blowjob? Even a bad blowjob is a good blowjob. Like, was my shitty sandwich I was gonna eat. Like, that sandwich looked like garbage. Like, anything would have been better than that shitty any fucking bologna sandwich you were about to eat.
Is garbage.
Yeah, like
compared to having your dick sucked.
Yeah, yeah, 100%.
I don't have one, but I can decisively tell you say
right now. Yeah, I've had a lot of sandwiches and a lot of blowjobs, and every time I'm like, yes, that blowjob is always better.
Always
than that fucking sandwich.
Always.
And if you think the sandwich is better, you've never had a fuck. You've never had your dick sucked well. Like I'm just saying, like. But you've even, never,
yeah.
Yeah, they're like, well, I don't know. Have you ever had this tuna melt? Yeah, I have. Like,
yeah, tuna melt.
Telling you right now, listeners, I don't want to hear anyone tell me that a sandwich is better than your penis being sucked.
Yeah.
Just like, there's no way.
No.
There's no way. Mm-mm. You just, yeah.
We feel very strongly about this.
Yeah, I'm not, not backing down on this one. Not backing down on that.
Oh, I think one of my favorite moments. And we mentioned this a little bit at the beginning, but one of my favorite moments in the movie was when they're okay. So they find they do secure. I can't even remember how they secure a part of the track, but they secure it and they're getting ready. Mm-hmm. And the girls are like in the car and they've got their helmets on and they're like strategizing. Mm-hmm. And you see Ron Jeremy show up, and he's eavesdropping in the background.
Yeah.
But he's literally
but he's like five feet away. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then there's a car behind him.
In the shot.
With his boss in it.
Yeah. Yeah. Because that's right. Because he walks away from the car.
The car to eavesdrop. And then he walks back to the car, which is only like 3 feet away from him. And he's like, so this is what they said. And you're like, they were talking out loud. You could have just undone your window and heard them. Also, there, it's not like you're in traffic. You're just like in a parking lot, an open parking lot with no other cars next to a racetrack, and they don't see the car. It blows my mind in that scene that they're just like, no one just like slightly averts their gaze to the right.
Yeah.
Like he's in peripheral vision and they're not like, oh, hey, there's that asshole. Like, no one does it. And then him going back, like, so, hey, and turns out got some info. And you're like, yeah, we all heard, Ron Jeremy. We all heard. This is also the film where he clearly was like, hey, guys, I'll do this film as long as I can show you some of my kung fu that I learned in my gym class the other day. And he does, like, the worst goddamn fucking kicks. And you know that he thought he was good. Like, you know he thought he was doing, like, real great action. And he is terrible.
Yeah.
Like, fucking terrible this. Like, they have a fight scene in a garage where they try and beat up this guy. And then they're just, like, obviously, like, okay, so what I'm going to do is you come after me. And then I'm just going to throw, like, a right hook. And I'll do my crane kick and some... my karate at you and bibbidi bobbidi boop, that's our scene. Yeah. You know, they, you know that he was just like, I got this in the bag, and then just improvised like the shittiest fight scene. I think at one point somebody throws something too and you just hear like a clang.
Yeah.
It's,
and oh, man. They also, like, I think I remember from that, because that's in a garage.
Yeah.
And I think I remember that the shot was like a wide shot. Oh, yeah.
At first it's closed, and then they pan out to like it's on the ceiling.
So that down. They don't, I guess, so they don't have to use up as much film, or like they don't have to do as much editing.
Yeah. So then,
and they're like, great, like, we'll just catch all of the chaos in the shot. But that does the opposite of make it seem intense.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like, if you're wanting to shoot a fight scene, you want to shoot it up close and personal. Like, follow the people as they're moving and, like, ducking and weaving. If you show me everything, it just looks like a bad... Like, if you've ever seen people actually fight in real life, it just looks bad.
Well,
unless they're, like, martial artists.
They're not trained. Yeah, and the problem is, like, there's, like, too close, and then there's too far.
Yeah.
You know, like, you want to show me everything. You know, you watch, like, Hong Kong action films, you're like, oh, wow, I get to see everything. It's not like...
Yeah.
You know, the Jason Bourne, like, super quick. You're like,
yeah.
What just happened? You know, you... But they were like, okay, so we're going to put the camera... literally the top corner of this is like a warehouse, and so it's like 30 feet in the air, you know, and it's just like on a crane, and then like awkwardly angled down so you can see the entire room, and you're just like, you know, and they look super tiny, and you're just going, what am I watching
they're like
here,
bumping into boxes and they're tables, just, making a mess, just like bumping into stuff.
And then they beat up the mechanic.
They do.
That guy's also great too, because
he's wonderful.
When they have sex, Oh, fuck, I just remembered this. Remember when he, like, the mechanic then has sex with her, the driver?
Is it Casey?
Yeah.
The curly hair?
Yeah, the driver, remember? Because, yeah. Like, they have, like, a threesome earlier.
Oh, yeah.
And then she's, like, next to the car. Like, they put their actual race car back in the garage. And she's like, and they're supposed to be, like, their lovemaking scene.
Yeah, yeah, quote-unquote. Yeah.
Like, it's supposed to be the gentle one.
Yeah.
But it's just, like, on a fucking dirty mat. Like, so, in the actual garage. Like, it's just, like, and it's not just, like, a dirty mat. It's, like, an actual, like, painter's mat slash mechanical.
Yeah.
Mechanics mat. Like, if you've ever seen one of those things, they're dirty. And they just, like, put it on the ground. And they have sex on it. And they're like, oh, this is romantic. And it is not romantic.
No, it's not at all.
And it's supposed to be romantic. And it's just weird.
It's just weird. And then you can also see they do some reshoots where it's like they have like metal paneling behind him for some like, you know, like close-up reactions,
like shots. This is also that era where like you would watch, and you will get into this, you'll hear this more and more in this podcast, is there are so many of these type of films that are reaction shots of just the man's face.
Yeah.
And you don't get anything else. Like, you're not getting, like, you know, penis in hand or, like, full body or whatever. Yeah. You're just watching, and it's always, and this is what fucks me up, is it's always from, like, a camera angle looking up at them.
Yeah.
And so you get, like, nostril and sweat. And it's, I guess it's supposed to convey, like, the point of view of the female.
Yeah.
But it's participant, not.
But, yeah.
Because it's not in that actual angle, like you fit, you in your brain go like, well, I know that's not, because it's like slightly to the left or something and angled up, and you just get these weird close-ups of men going like, and then cut back to like them hard ejaculating. That's always the thing that knows that gets me too in this, is that you see a lot of these films, which is why I kind of appreciate like current day porn, is like older porn, they're like, let's have sex now. And it's like a limp penis. You know, like now they're like, hey, we're starting off hard. You don't need to see the limp penis. You know what a limp penis looks like.
Yeah.
It's not the sexiest thing on the planet.
It's not the outcome it's we're going for. It's not what we're looking for.
We just want to get there. Like, there's something about a penis getting hard that's hot.
Yes.
You know, like seeing a penis getting harder, like say, like during say fellatio, you know, or like sort of like a hand job, you're like, oh, okay, like that's the turn on. You're seeing them get turned on, and there's something really interesting about that. But just seeing like someone give head to a limp penis and then cut to it something being hard, you're like, okay, he had to take a break. to get, you know, like, there's so many moments where you're just watching them, like, give head to, like, a limp penis over and over and over and over again. You're like, he's not really hard.
Yeah. Okay.
And then they get to the actual sex, you know, and then it's hard suddenly. You're like, oh, he had to do something there.
Yeah.
Okay. the day of...
something happened.
A fluffer came in here. Back in the fluffer days. I'm picking up they had a cut.
Pretty sure we didn't see the whole thing
Can we all, but can we talk about though, because this is the film that has, this is the one that has, I was going to talk about the bar. The
country bar. Okay. Yeah. We should talk about
But I want to talk about first that they have a threesome with like Kay.
No, it's a foursome.
It's a foursome. There's It is the foursome.
Yeah.
But they like the mechanic. And, like, the two blondes, like, the two drivers.
Casey and Christy.
Yes. And then Molly, who's, like...
And some other... Is Molly there, too?
Yeah.
Is it...
Yeah.
Is it a fivesome?
No, because that's... It's Molly. It's, like, one man and three women. Is it Molly and...
Yeah. Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah, of course it is.
But remember that they're all chatting. Yeah. And they just have, like... It's clearly in... Like this Winnebago.
It's in the trailer.
Yeah,
it's Molly's.
And they have
trailer.
Like just cans of beer and like cheese and crackers.
Yeah.
And then they just start having sex. And
there's clearly not enough room.
There's clearly not enough room. But this is also because they have this is the one I believe, isn't it? Where like Kay Parker, because that's in her trailer.
Yeah.
And she's they have like a girl on girl lesbian scene like in a shower.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Right before that.
Yeah.
And what I love is that you have like the person coming into the trailer.
Yeah.
You then see Kay Parker, like Molly, in a shower.
Yeah.
Which is not the size of a trailer shower.
Yeah.
Like, it is obviously in a house. Like, it's somebody's apartment or house. Like, it is obviously, like, not...
Not in that trailer.
Not, because it's too big. It's way too big.
It's, like, half like, it's a normal size trailer. The rest of the trailer.
And then she's, like, showering, and she's, like, soaping herself up, and, like, she fingers herself, and, like, she has a little, like, masturbatory, like, moment, and it's all about soaping her big boobs and stuff. And then the other person comes in, and then it cuts to them having sex, and it's a different shower. And they've now got to a larger shower, because at one point there was no shower curtain, but it was a different shape to the shower.
Yeah.
And then when they have sex, it's a different bathtub entirely with a shower curtain. And I was like,
that is also not in a trailer. Which is also
not in a trailer. But they show the one in the trailer. They show, like, they're like, oh, here's my shower. And she gets into it. Cut to a different one. Then cut to another one. Like, they have three different showers for one fucking set. Yeah. Why they couldn't just get one, I don't know. But, my brain was like, they must have been filming. And they were like, oh, this is too small.
Yeah.
We gotta move. All right, cut. We'll come back to this tomorrow. And then she's like doing it. And then, you know, and then they start like, it's just one person, like, perfect, awesome.
Yeah.
Second person walks in, like, oh shit.
Yeah, damn.
This is also too small.
This was only, you know what, we'll do this one tomorrow. One.
And then they keep doing, like, they keep cutting days. It's like, you know, you hear actors in movies where they're like, that one scene was the toughest scene in the film. It's like Bradley Cooper at the end of Nightmare Alley.
Yeah.
He's like, that last scene was like, we had the set built and we were just like, one day we'll get to it.
Yeah.
This is the second Guillermo, Pan's Labyrinth. I don't know why he's on my brain.
Yeah.
whatever. Shape of Water reference coming your way soon.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's talking about that thing and he has the story. He's like, you know, and we just waited and waited. And then one day it was like, I think I got it in me. And then, you know, they're like, we did it. Boom, we banged it out. It was perfect. At the end of the film, it's like, that's this, the shower. They're like, you know, they've got this set.
Yeah.
They're waiting and waiting and waiting. And they're like, they finally are like, it's too small. It's just too small. The scene is too small.
Yeah, we gotta find
something
bigger. And they finally,
that's the last scene they get.
Yeah.
Right? It's just like, finally, we got a big fucking tub. Nailed it. You know?
Yeah. Oh. Cut. That's a wrap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But,
okay.
Yeah.
We have to go back to the bar. Okay. So this is near the beginning of the film when Casey's bringing Christy to meet Molly for the first time, and they're in a country bar, and Molly's there, and there's a band in the bar.
Yeah.
Country band.
Opens up on the band.
On the band. And we hear not one full song, but two full songs.
From the band.
From the band.
Just basically, they two never music come videos.
Back.
Yeah.
They never come back.
Yeah.
Except as extras at the end when they win the big race.
That's the best part. That's the best part. Okay, that's the best part. Is that you watch this and they're not bad singers. They're not a bad band.
No, it's great.
You know, she's singing a country song.
Yeah. I did write down some of the song lyrics because they were pretty great.
They're great. It's catchy.
It was very highly innuendo riddled. Slide on in, darling. You know what I'm looking for. Slip right into my arms. Slide and slip. Like, there's so many times slide and slip were, like, in that song. You could have turned it into a drinking game and gotten hammered.
Oh, and it's like a good 2-minute song.
Yeah.
Like, it's a minute and a bit.
Yeah.
Minute and 60 seconds. Like, yeah.
Like, and you know that, like, she was the girlfriend of, like, a crew member or something. Yeah. And she was like, I've got a band. And, like, and he was like, oh, just wait till you hear my girl. Like, she's got some great pipes. And, like, what?
Somebody, she'll even write a song
for the movie.
Yeah.
And then she wrote Slip and Slide.
Yeah. And then they do a second song right away.
Yeah.
And you just watch this band sing two songs.
Yeah. Second song, I don't think it was...
It's not as long. No. It's like, but they eventually like cut off away to them like coming into the bar. Yeah. And then you kind of hear that song in the background. But they do like a full like song and a half.
Yeah.
Like, so it's there. Like, you don't lose the song. Like, it's suddenly just playing in the background.
But it's...
Yeah.
It's just very strange. There's moments like this are always moments like when we're watching these together where we... Just look at each other like, are we really just watching a country band? Yeah. Like, this is supposed to be, like...
But what is this?
What? This isn't even adding to the measly plot.
And you think in your brain, is she eventually going to get naked and suck off the bass player? Like, you know, like
it's that but much
time. No, like, you suddenly go like, where's the sex coming? Like, where's the rub? Like, where, like, how are we tying this into porn world? And then they don't. And you just go, oh, okay, interesting. Yeah, and then, but the best part is that she comes back at the end, and she's just wearing a bikini, and she's the bikini girl that gives the trophy to the winner, and that's, I remember you being like, that's her! Yeah, and they all, like, stand, like, in a Star Wars pose at the end, you know, like sort of Star Wars ending. And they do
a freeze frame.
Yeah.
But you can tell that two of them didn't know, like, I don't think Christy and Casey knew, because they're completely blocked and, like, hugging. Yeah. You can't see their faces in this final shot. Yeah.
Yeah. So,
okay. Moment of
truth. I will say, like, there is some actual race car driving in this.
There is.
And,
like, you see
and
the cars
and
go
they
around
you
the
really
track.
Do. And that's what makes it kind of impressive is at a certain point you do realize that they had enough money to film an actual race on a racetrack.
Yeah.
Like they pulled some strings somewhere. And you see, you know, actual women in these cars. Like, you know how sometimes in films you'll see somebody like smoking and you're like, they're not really smoking.
Or you
see somebody throw a punch and you're like, you didn't really throw that punch. Or you see, you know, I guess the best example is in this case, like, you see, like, a car pull up and then cuts and the person gets out of the car. And you're like, you weren't really in that car. You know, like, you see, like, an actual, like, mini, like, race car, like, pull up into the pit stop and in one shot and the person gets out and it's that person who previously just fucked another person in another scene. Like those women...
Yeah.
At least drove that car into a pit stop.
Yeah.
And, you know, so, I mean, kudos for that. That was, I was, you know.
I know.
Impressed by that, at least.
What are we doing? 5-star rating out of 5 stars? What,
I enjoyed it. I would watch this again. Like, I know that we've watched it twice now, and it was fun.
It was very fun.
I highly recommend it. Like, if you can find...
If you're looking
for a
fun...
Yeah. I wouldn't say, like, it's 5 stars. Like, out of, like...
No.
You know, it's a solid, like, 3.5 out of 5. Like, because, like, not all the sex is great.
5 dick slaps.
But it's entertaining.
Out of 10.
10 dick slaps. Yeah.
5 dick slaps out of 10. That's what I give it.
Yeah. It was entertaining. Like, I think we had more laughs than we were, like, aroused by the whole film. Like, you weren't like, oh, this is a sexy film. It was like, oh, this is really fun.
Yeah.
You know, and the sex in it is decent enough that you're not, like, bored by it.
Yeah.
And, because sometimes you can tell, like,
you see some hot
when
people taking their clothes off.
Into it. And you're like, oh, this doesn't feel like they're into it. This one, you can, for the most part, you're like, oh, it feels like they're mostly enjoying what they're doing. And
I really liked also, like, the undertones of, like, matriarchal feminism is strong in this movie, I think. Like, it's
Ron Jeremy Yang gets his, like, ass kicked
he
and
does,
thrones out. Like, you actually go, like, great, that piece of shit actually, like, you know, you're not seeing,
Molly's a race car mogul.
Yeah.
Makes bank. Is able to give all of her young protégés... jobs
and they win in the end.
And they
like
win.
They, yeah.
Like
it,
yeah, yeah. No, I'm. Yeah. Yeah. I'm super into it.
Yeah. I'd recommend it. I'd totally recommend it for anyone who's.
Yeah.
Down for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
I guess that's it.
I guess that's it.
That's if you. Yeah.
See you next time.
All right.